spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. Good Monday morning to you. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, getting the week started. And I'm very pleased to have a guest I haven't seen in a while. Wesley Odom is here with Armada Advisors. If you've got a question for him, we'll be here for the full half hour, 850-437-1620. Good morning, Wesley. It's great to see you.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm sure that with all that's happening in the world, we're hearing, getting inundated with news and flashes on our phones and all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting to take, we were just discussing before we went on the air, to take a look at all this kind of from a financial perspective. And you have a lot of experience here. So tell us a little bit about your background and your firm.
Well, I've been in the industry in 1992 after getting out of the Navy. And been doing this financial services for, gosh, a long time since then.
Wow.
And 2009 established Armada Advisors, which is a registered investment advisory firm, works with Fidelity Investments. Fidelity is the largest custodian of financial instruments, I think, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it's the best custodian I've ever been associated with. I first started to work with Smith Barney and then went to or Spearson Lehman, got bought by Smith Barney and numerous firms, but anyway, but it's always
lots
the same firm. But anyway, and then finally went out with Armada. So anyway, Fidelity is wonderful. I love it.
Your son now is with the firm.
He is. He was working overseas, and I convinced him. I said, you can always do international finance in Pensacola. You don't have to be in Milan.
Oh.
So he took me up on the offer. So well, he's
there
doing
you go.
Really well.
Must be nice to have him home.
It is. Speaks fluent in Spanish and in German. So,
wow.
Pretty impressive guy, really is.
Yeah, that is impressive. So tell us, how are things going? What is it? What do you see as part of the financial plan going forward? And for folks that are listening, probably curious about what, with everything that's going on, what your reaction is from a financial perspective.
Well, historically, when the United States goes to war, the market always drops. And not always, but I mean, most of the time, I should say, you can't say always is everything in the financial category.
Right.
There's always exceptions, right? But I can't think of one right now that comes to my mind. But generally speaking, the market drops, and it's because of the uncertainty involving what's going to happen.
Of course.
And we saw this in World War II. It dropped, and it looked gloomy initially in 1942. And we saw this in the Gulf War.
Right.
We saw this then. And anyway, but what happens is once the investors get confident that, you know what, this isn't the end of the world, which it's not going to be the end of the world, you can see just by the damage that's being exacted by the Iranians against us, if you want to call it, or our allies, which are the other Arab states nearby, and Israel, their damage is relatively small, I know it was regrettable that we've had any people die on the ground, and we have, but if you hold, and every life is valuable, but you've got to be impressed with, then compared to other wars we've gotten involved with, where you have, a lot more than that die. And so, the Iranians have not been able to really wage war effectively, and we have, it seems. And this is going to eventually turn around people's concerns. The idea that the Strait of Hormuz might be shut off, or supposedly I think I heard that a tanker has been sunk to try to block it. There's been other attempts over the years where people try to block straits. Even the Civil War, the Confederates tried to block the Port of Pensacola. It's really it's difficult to do that kind of stuff. You've got a lot of tonnage to do things like that. And, in the Straits of Hormuz, you've got 21 miles. Granted, you can't, navigate deep draft vessels all through that 21 miles. Maybe you want to go a certain section. But still, it's not as easy as you might think. So I think that their efforts, i.e. the efforts of the regime of the conservative radical government of Iran, I think they're going to be thwarted. And I think that eventually the Iranian people hopefully will rise up and and get something who's more moderate. I mean, you know, unlike some wars we get involved with, and I will mention, we talked about Vietnam because you mentioned that beforehand. You know, in Vietnam, I think there was a lot of indifference to who is in charge. They'd been at conflict for a long time before the Americans got there. And they were like, okay, we just want peace. And I think the Iranian people want peace, too. And they want a government that's going to allow them to succeed. I mean, since the revolution, the Iranian currency has declined by 99%. I mean, can you imagine since 1979, your value of your dollar having degraded by 99%? I mean, we all know that the U.S. dollar definitely has declined in the sense that it costs us more to buy Coca-Cola, for example.
Right.
Okay.
That's gone up.
You know, since 1979, I remember it was like a quarter at the machines. Now it's not a quarter.
No, sir.
All right. But, you know, it hasn't degraded by 99%.
Right. And that's hard to even get your mind around.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, they've got problems. And, you know, also women, you know, they were educated before 1979. They got to go to university. They got fully, I mean, you know. And now you get that women are sub tier to men in Iran. I think that's bad. And so anyway, I think that the people of Iran realize that, and I think that they're going to make a movement. And so this is going to stabilize the financial markets. I think that the spike in oil that we're having right now is going to be temporary. I know that we, with some aggressive clients, we actually bought into some instruments that were basically were estimating that the oil prices will go up and we'll make a lot more money when it goes up.
Right.
At some point, we'll close that position and make a hopefully nice profit for them.
Okay. We're talking with Wesley Odom with Amrata Advisors. And if you've got a financial question, he is our expert on the expert panel this morning at 850-437-1620. So you have the military background, which I think gives you an excellent perspective because you have firsthand experience on the situation. You've been doing this since 1992. So you've weathered through, when I think back to 1992 and all the changes in the market that we've seen over the years. And for me now, an area that I know very little about, I'd love to hear you talk about a little bit, is Bitcoin and crypto and all the new quote-unquote ways to invest. What are your thoughts about all of that? Because you've seen that certainly has changed the industry, and it's still really relatively new, and a lot of people don't even know what it is.
Right. It's one of those nebulous things that people just say, you just got to believe.
Yeah. Well, wait a second.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a little more conservative than that.
Right, exactly. But that's what they want you to do. Fidelity has been on the Bitcoin bandwagon for a few years now, and we were somewhat late in the game in getting involved with the Bitcoin. A lot of our clients have some very, very small positions in Bitcoin and through an instrument called MSTR, which is a company that actually leverages Bitcoin, meaning that they borrow money and they buy more Bitcoin. So when you buy this particular security, it gives you multiplying factors. If it builds, Bitcoin goes up or also goes down. And so today it's up because there's uncertainty. You know, the simplest, I like to tell people on Bitcoin is like having a library card, buying a library card.
Yeah.
Okay, an old library card.
Okay.
And when you check out a book, you got one of those old library cards, right? And it had everyone's name on who'd checked out
the
book.
Yes, I remember. Yes, I do.
Well, that's what Bitcoin is. They put your name at the bottom of it because you own it. Mm-hmm. And they track, I have the library card that librarians sometimes would, you know, staple the library cards together if they wanted to, if they didn't want to make a new card, or they just replaced it and got a new one, you know?
Right.
So that's what Bitcoin is. I mean, it's like it has a record of every transaction, who all has owned it since inception.
Interesting.
You're betting that it's going to go up over time. And for a small position over your portfolio, I think it's okay, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it. I mean, I'm too much old fashioned. You know, I remember when I first started in the industry in 1992, the hot stock back then was Walmart.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
When I came in, it was like Walmart. And Walmart was a company at the time, you may recall, that when it was going into a lot of towns back in the 90s, and it was putting small businesses out of work. And there were a lot of people complaining about, I hate Walmart.
I remember
Walmart
the mom and pop shots. Yep,
absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely.
Well, same with Toys R Us at that time period, too, because of all the mom and pop toy stores. Remember
that? Very true. But the difference between Walmart and Toys R Us, Walmart was flawlessly executing it. I mean, they had gotten they were making the buy in bulk and pass on the savings to consumers, in a nutshell. I mean, they did it flawlessly. They executed. Their revenues were growing on the top line, and they also had bottom line revenues that were growing too. So their net was going. Everything was doing well with Walmart. They were expanding. They went from the equivalent of I think in 1990, I looked it up because I got really interested in this the other day. I'm a geek in some ways. It was $1.90, I think, around 1990.
No kidding. Okay? What is it now? I can't even imagine.
Well, now it's I think it's maybe, it's over 100.
Yeah.
I want to say.
It's not $1.90.
Yeah, I have to look it up. But anyway, but it was, by the year 1990, it was 1990, and then 1999 I'm talking about, mm-hmm. it was up to $23 or whatever and change. Okay, that's a tremendous increase during that time period. A person who bought $10,000 at Walmart in 1990 had around 80 some odd thousand.
Wow.
Okay, in just less than 10 years.
Where was I?
Where were you? That's right.
Why didn't I do that?
And then what happened in 1989 is, or 1999, I keep on saying 89. Mm-hmm. 1999, if in the next 3 years, Walmart, even though their revenue was increasing, okay, and it slowed from 17% growth year to around 14% a year for the next 3 years. And then after that, it started to go down to 11% growth mm-hmm. for the next several years. Anyway, what I'm trying to get at is Walmart started a period of time where its stock from 1999 all the way to 2012 went sideways to downwards.
Interesting.
For that long.
Yeah.
I mean, over a dozen years. And I had clients who were telling me, what's going on with Walmart? Because they bought into Walmart. They saw it go up. Oh, I made so much money at Walmart. Walmart's not going to go out of business. All that kind of stuff. And they were still making money. And some people got so upset, they said, you got to get me out of Walmart. Oh. I want to go where we can make money. Okay. And of course, it was hard to get people in Walmart mm-hmm. during that time period. It was going nowhere, sideways. And their earnings were okay. They just weren't fantastic. And so anyway, bottom line is Walmart started to go up in 2012. And you know, it's if you look at a chart today, it's really going up a lot. And recently, Walmart got added to the NASDAQ.
Right.
Which is important because what that shows is that the companies evolved from a traditional brick and mortar to more of an online presence.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been able to execute this in an amazing way. So a lot of people, for example, I don't necessarily do this, but they'll go online, they'll buy their goods at Walmart, and they'll go out either DoorDash will come pick it up, or right. or they will come pick it up, and mm-hmm. they'll drop it off in your car. I mean, this is an online kind of thing that's growing part of their business.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
The world has changed. You've got to change with it.
So anyway, the reason I bring this up is because, you know, you have a situation right now where you have NVIDIA, which is going up phenomenally.
Yes.
I mean, and we're actually getting ready to do a video. We do a lot of videos at Armada Advisors, and we talk about what's going on, what we think's going on, at least, in the market, how you can capitalize on it. We're going to come up with a new one with NVIDIA. It'll be today, hopefully. And NVIDIA, you have a situation where the stock is making money. They had some really good results the other day,
mm-hmm.
top line and bottom line, and the stock went down.
Interesting.
It's going down 10%, I think, from where it was.
And why is that?
Well, it's because I think it is number one, it's the belief or the doubt amongst some investors thinking that NVIDIA is not going to grow at 50% a year right now for the next few years,
mm-hmm.
next over 2 to 3 years. Historically, if you have a company that's growing at 50%, it ought to trade in a range of anywhere from 40 to 70 times earnings. And right now, if you factor that in on NVIDIA, in a worst-case scenario, NVIDIA could trade down as low as 162, which would be really awful because last time I looked, it was around $170-something mm-hmm. a share. So that would be a little bit lower than it is right now. But that would be an acceptable area where it could trade. And so you just got to ask yourself, number one, are they in a situation where their products are not going to be needed in the future as what some people think they are? I think that's wrong. I think that they are still growing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to, it's understandable for a company last year Actually, I remember 2 years ago, I keep on jumping around. 2 years ago or so, we said, we were on a radio show in January, and we said our top stock was going to be NVIDIA. Mm-hmm. And it was NVIDIA. And then the year before last, NVIDIA went up 100%. This last year, NVIDIA was up 39%. I mean, all to go, I told people who have NVIDIA, I said, you know, oh, I'm sorry, your NVIDIA only went up 39%. The year before it went up over 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And people wanted, oh my God, that's great. That's right. Well, some people think that they should keep go on every year. Well, you know, stocks don't do that necessarily. And
right.
I think what could happen is we're in a sideways moment like Walmart was,
mm-hmm.
when there's doubt. But I think NVIDIA is different from Walmart because NVIDIA is technology that is actually transforming our lives that we can hardly dream of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about 2 years ago, I read an article that said within 5 to 10 years, I think 5% of the global workforce will be eliminated due to technology. And I think that's possible.
I think it's already happening, quite frankly.
It is happening.
Right,
it
really?
Is. But it just means that where people are going to have to go to different areas. Just
mm-hmm.
like that right now, there's not as many people picking, harvesting grain because you have combines doing it.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so it's technology is changing the way we do business or mm-hmm. live our lives, and that's going to continue to happen. Does that mean we don't need people? We need people to do other things.
Right.
Maybe engineers. Who knows what? I don't know. But anyway, it's a great time to invest. I think it's important to realize the trends like Walmart and
mm-hmm.
what it can mean if you go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
NVIDIA's in that sideways pattern right now. It
right.
presents a really good opportunity for someone to participate and get a hold of that because I don't think we're going to go 12 years like Walmart did and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in this situation, you're going to get a shorter period of time, and NVIDIA is going to make a place.
Interesting. Talking with Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. If you've got a question for him, this is the opportunity to find out where you need to invest at 850-437-1620. So let's just say I suddenly inherit $10,000, and I walk in your doors. I say, okay, Wesley, what do I do with this $10,000? Help me to invest it. How would you advise a new investor to the market?
Well, I would say to you, believe it or not, I'd say our minimum investment is $100,000.
Okay, I inherited $100,000. Let's start there. I started to say $100,000.
Okay,
okay,
well,
okay,
good.
Okay,
well,
I just
good,
inherited
$100,000. Okay, we can help you there.
Okay, good.
I mean, I'm not trying to belittle anyone who has $10,000
no,
to invest.
I
really am. I'm just saying that anyway, you know, so I think that what I'd want to know is what your goals and intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
Is this money you're going to use to purchase a house in 3 months? We had a person come in the door with that a few months ago, and they said, hey, I want to put this money in 3 months. I want to make some money. So we did a bond portfolio. At that time, the bond interest rates were paying, I think, maybe 3 and change. We ended up getting 5% in individual bonds.
That's
so
good.
So he got, you know, 2 more percentage points than he would have gotten in the money market. He was thrilled.
Yeah.
Because he got to park his money for 3 months, got a good rate of return. He was happy. He went off to closing, had more money than
nice.
He started with.
Yeah.
So you
got
to communicate
thing. Yeah.
what you want.
Yeah.
What's your time horizon? What's your goal? If you're, some people come in, they say, hey, I don't need this money for a long period of time. Just let it grow and let's whatever. Okay. Well, how old are you? What, you know, could we take advantage of Roth options or do you have earned income? I mean, there's a lot of different mm-hmm. things you're going to think about for those questions to be answered correctly. And I think that the other thing is you got to look at, see where the market is right now. What's
mm-hmm.
on sale? You know, when you
right.
go to the department store or the grocery store, you're looking at the bargains.
The buy one, get one free?
Absolutely.
Do they have those in the market?
They do to some extent. It's called valuation, you know?
Right.
There's an ice cream company we bought recently for clients, and it was weird. Why would you want to buy an ice cream company? I say it was a good price.
Mm-hmm.
This ice cream company sells at like, it's a $15 billion company. It should be a lot more than that because historically ice cream companies sell for a lot higher multiples. Excuse me. And so I think that you have to look at and be cognizant of what's going on with the market
mm-hmm.
because you know what? It's all about making money.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's a bargain, it's a bargain. I mean, wife came home the other day and she said, look what I got at the store. And I said, wow, that's a good deal. I said, where'd you get it? She said, fits you perfectly. She told me, I said, guess how much I paid? I told her. And I said, wow, that's a good deal. I said, I know it was on sale. I mean, that's
right.
what people want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of advisor you want to do. You want to say, you don't necessarily want to go to the hot dot all the time because if you buy the hot dot, you could be sitting there for a long period of time
mm-hmm.
holding it. I mean, imagine the guy who came in 1999. The guy says, what should you buy? Oh, you buy some Walmart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He bought it and he sat down for over 12 years and waited for it to come back.
Wow.
Can you imagine? You'd
wow.
be upset. You'd
yeah.
be calling up at some point during that 12-year time period saying, hey, that wasn't a good idea. I think I want to sell my Walmart. Mm-hmm. I want to go somewhere else. What would you recommend?
Right, right. And I guess that's where your expertise and experience comes in.
It's all about what the client needs and what's the appropriate mechanisms in the market to take advantage of it.
Okay, did get a text from one of our listeners that says that oil is up about 7%. How is that going to affect the market?
Well, I mean, that's good for the oil stocks. I mean, we try to have a position of about 3% of our portfolios in oil because that's the S&P 500 ratio, I think. There's 3 or 4%. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I think that oil could go maybe up a little bit more. And at some point, we'd probably want to close out of the position because I think that as soon as this war gets over with, oil will go back. I mean, there's a tremendous supply out there. There will be again.
Okay, I've got another question for you. This is from one of our listeners, and the number is 850-437-1620. Please explain the pros and cons of an investment category commonly referred to as structured notes.
Oh, I hate structured notes, personally. structured notes are sold by broker-dealers. Mm-hmm. We're not a broker-dealer. We're a registered investment advisor. Work with Fidelity, which means it's kind of like a no-load type investing. Structured notes, you're tied up in a certain period of time, and you have limits. For example, there's one structured note I remember vividly back in the Smith-Barney days where it was you had minimal upside but maximum downside. That's what the structured note was. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you're capped off and certain caps onto the upside, but you were also there. It was no, you could lose a lot on the downside if it went that way. Or you might have different it might be switched on the other side. The structured notes are varied on the you're capped off on the bottom to some extent within certain parameters, and then you're capped off the upside. So you have, as long as the market trades in a certain period of time, area, you're okay. But the thing is, you're paying for that. You're paying basically underlying insurance. It's called options, optionality. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting really technical here, but I normally don't recommend it because I think if you want to grow your money conservatively, there are other options that will give you more upside with less caps. Let's put it that way. Why would you want to walk around with a leash on your neck all day?
Well, not me.
I wouldn't either. All slavery.
We've got just a few minutes left here, Wesley. So is there anything that you'd like to touch on this morning that maybe we haven't talked about?
I think people ought to wake up and say, if they're going to be interested in the market, they need to find out, okay, I want to take the plunge. Because if you take the plunge early enough and you got time on your side, I mean, you can get returns. Someone asked Einstein one time, what's the most important invention in the world? He said compound interest. It's true. If you've got the time and you've got the investment money, put a little bit of money away, you can make a lot of money over time if you choose the right advisor. Hopefully you can come to talk to us and Armada Advisors. We can help you.
Okay, so where are you located, and how do we get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
We do. It's armadaadvisors.com, and our office is on E Street, 1800 North E Street, and it's right across the street from the Old Baptist Hospital, believe it or not.
Okay, I got one more question, which is kind of interesting. Does it matter when during the year you invest?
You know, there's some studies been done on that.
Because I'm thinking the beginning of the year, the end of the year, maybe it does make a difference.
You know, people always do those things. You know, if you go by those books that are written about that, it's just the opposite happens. So as Warren Buffett said, the best time to have money is when you want to invest is the best time to invest. When you got the money.
When you got the money.
Yeah, that's it. So I think that, you know, some guys maybe go down to days of the week. Is it better to invest on a Monday or Friday?
Well, I lived in New York City, so I was around a lot of people that were in the stock market when I was younger, and it was just that's all they talked about every day.
Yeah, exactly. Day. So I think that you got to, if it's on sale, buy it. If it's not on sale, step away. Wait for sales. Sales open up all the time in the market.
Interesting.
You don't have to invest on day one. That's why sometimes people like, I'll just put in a good mutual fund. Really? Are you buying low? Are you buying high? We just buying the whole market. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out what is it invested in? What is the outlook for this manager? How is he positioned the portfolio? If that's what you want to do, do you want to add any individual securities to your portfolio and spice them up? That's what we've had successfully at Armada. We've actually added individual securities, maybe a mutual fund or some, or an ETF or whatever, to give people diversification so they can get that upside. People love when they can talk the cocktail hour, say, yeah, I made 20% last year, whatever. It makes you feel good, or my stock went, whatever.
You love what you do, don't you?
I do.
I can tell. When I went just now, his face lit up, and he was talking about investing and figuring it all out. It's an exciting business, really.
I appreciate all the people who called in.
Okay, what's your number one more time?
850-497-6167. 850-497-6167.
Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. Take advantage of his experience and knowledge. You can't go wrong investing with Armada Advisors.